We are back in Albany, New York for Giants training camp. It has been four nice days. What started off as rain turned into sun the last two. The Giants have had great days of practice. They have a day off tomorrow. It's been a successful camp so far for Big Blue. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. My name is John Schmelk. It's all presented by Andrew Mark. And our guest today is Paul Dottino, beat reporter for WFAN, and, of course, a contributor to all things New York Giants. Paul, welcome back.
Great to see you again, John. Beautiful day up here in the Capital District.
It is. It's too bad the Giants did not get some better news to go along with the really nice weather. And we are bringing some news here. Terrell Thomas went back to New York today to get his right knee examined, the same knee injured last year, tearing his ACL. Now, they've examined the knee. The most likely scenario here, it's not in stone yet, they will most likely do arthroscopic surgery on that right knee, on that right ACL, to see the extent of the damage, to see exactly how long he'll be out, what further procedures they'll have to do. So there is an injury to his right ACL, the same injury he had last season. They're going to do some exploratory surgery, and they'll see what happens with Terrell Thomas, Paul, and that's a big blow.
Yeah, it sure is. And remember, folks, Terrell Thomas also suffered a torn ACL when he was at USC. So this is now his third ACL injury. No NFL player in history has come back from three ACL injuries to the same knee, except for linebacker Thomas Davis of the Carolina Panthers. He is currently in training camp right now, attempting to successfully make the team. He would be the first. Therefore, Terrell Thomas is certainly climbing up against some long odds.
Now, again, we don't know the extent of the injury. They're doing the surgery. They will most likely do the surgery to explore to see the extent of the injury. We don't know if it's torn again, so it's a wait-and-see proposition. But it's still not good news when you have the third injury to that ligament, no matter how severe it might be.
No, and I'm really going off the assumption, or should I say the reading of the cards of Coach Tom Coughlin, who seemed very pessimistic, John. You know, you hate to see the coach announce any kind of injury, but with the kind of emotion and the worry that was written on his face, you know it's not good.
And there was also another scare to another Giants cornerback during practice. Jaron Hosley went down during one of the one-on-one drills. They were looking at his knee, but it turns out his injury is not very serious.
You know, it's really strange, John, because when he went down in a clump, it looked really, really bad. And then he got up, they brought him over to the sidelines. He tried to stand up, he went down again. The doctor started looking at his right knee, and it was like, oh no, don't tell me he's got an ACL or something of that nature. They took him on a cart, wheeled him off of the field, and I mean, your imagination's running wild. Turns out he had a laceration. Someone had like spiked him on the knee. Yeah. Tom Coughlin said he needed some stitches. Everything appears to be okay.
Now, Michael Bolsey-Boley also made a trip down to New York with Terrell Thomas. His injury not as serious. He's dealing with a hamstring. They're going to take a look at it and see exactly how severe that injury is.
Yeah, and hopefully it's not going to be very severe. Remember, Michael Boley was nicked up a little bit last year, but you know, he still had what was a career year for Michael Boley. So we're going to see what that deal is. I don't think that's going to be too much to worry about because we're still at training camp. I mean, if he's got to rest for a week or two, what's the big deal?
And then you have Justin Trouteau.
Well, Trouteau's got himself a sprained foot, went for x-rays and an MRI on that ankle. He still has the boot on, but Tom Coughlin did not seem to be very concerned. Looks as though that's a very minor situation.
Now, today is a fun day of practice. It was the first day the team wore any sort of pads, Paul. It wasn't full pads, but it was uppers, which means there was a lot more contact, and you can finally start seeing some real football out there.
Yeah, the kind of stuff that I really like to see, John. I really drool at this kind of day. I will tell you, a couple of guys who really showed well, Prince Amukamara, and what a great time for him to step up. He's had a couple of good practices, but today he was really on the ball, and with Terrell Thomas potentially going down for an extended period, the Prince is really going to have to show his stuff.
No doubt about it. We do take your calls on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Market, 518-437-3774. You can also send in your questions to hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to our busy phones. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Cole, are you there?
Oh, hi. This is Greg from Albany, New York.
Greg, what's up, pal?
Hey, listen, I have a quick question here for you. It's not too quick, but the defensive line. We really are. OC's happy now. He's back. He's in camp. You got Jason Pierre-Paul. I actually saw people comparing him to a Reggie White-type-esque, although it's early in his career. Then you got, you know, Tuck on the left side, Canty when he comes back, Linval Joseph. There's a lot of talent there, guys. I'm wondering, how's it all going to work out? How's it going to play itself from Rodgers as a free agent also from the Lions? How's that going to work out?
Well, you know, John, it's funny. The call is talking about the D-line. We were talking about the D-line this afternoon. There are going to be plenty of snaps to go around. There's going to be a heavy rotation there. Everyone's going to get their shot. But I want to refer you to one play, John. I know you saw this earlier at practice today. Bear Pasco pancaked JPP. That's something that does not happen very often. And on the next snap, JPP rifled past Will Beatty and Martellus Bennett and knocked down a pass as if to say, take that offense. You're not going to get me two plays in a row.
And we did see the Giants special pass rush package, what people like to call the NASCAR package today. And it featured Kiwanuka on the left side in Tuck's usual spot, OC in his normal spot at right end. And at inside, you would Tuck and Jason Pierre-Paul. Wow.
Yeah, that's a very devastating combination you're looking at. And, you know, because OC was hurt last year and Tuck was hurt last year, the Giants really never got those four on the field at the same time. Could you imagine what a quarterback must be thinking when he's looking at those guys?
And we'll hear from OC later on in the show. But first, let's start with the Giants running game. Last year, the Giants struggled to run the football. They did bring in some reinforcements this season in first-round pick David Wilson. Let's hear from Victor Cruz, Jerry Reese, and the man himself on the Giants' rookie first-round pick.
I definitely see his speed. I see his explosiveness. I see just a unique ability to change gears and change directions at a drop of a dime. And he's going to be exciting to watch. I'm excited when we get the pads on and go full go in this preseason game. I'm excited to see him play.
He had a nice complement to what you already have, kind of, you know, the stable of running backs that you guys have.
Definitely. He's a great complement. I think he's going to improve our stable. I think he's going to come in and make an immediate impact.
Oh, David Wilson, obviously, he's our first-round pick. We think he's going to give our run game some pop, you know, with his explosiveness. So we're hopeful that he can do that.
I put a lot of pressure on myself and very competitive. So I want to have a successful rookie season and career. So best way to start that is to learn his playbook and adjust to the speed of the NFL.
And that's David Wilson, the very gregarious Giants first-round pick. And Paul, he's a great talker, great kid, really. And he passes what everyone calls the sight test. You see him on the field, you see how he moves around, and you just know that he's special.
Yeah, you do, but what we don't know is yet, John, is can he pick up a blitz? And Tom Coughlin needs to see that, because if you're going to put him in the same backfield with Eli Manning, you better be able to protect your quarterback against pressure. The other thing that we really don't know about Wilson is against these bigger, stronger-type players. We talked about this the other day on the show. How is his durability going to be affected? In college, he was able to run away from a lot of guys, and then when they hit him, they weren't as big and strong and as powerful. He would get up, and everything would be fine. This is a different game in the NFL. I can't wait to see him in preseason games. To me, yes, he passes the eye test. I want to see what he does in games.
Let's go back to the phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Anthony from Montville, New Jersey.
Anthony, what's on your mind, buddy? Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love
good.
The show. Just want to call a quick thing. I know Terrell Thomas had his knee swell up, and they sent him to the hospital for tests. But if this injury that he has is not as serious as, you know, as everybody thinks it is, do you think that it's something that is going to linger all season long?
Wow, John, I mean, there's no way for us to tell. We're not doctors. We're not medical people. Heck, I'm not even a trainer, and I don't think you are either.
And I don't want to try to be one either.
No, there's no point in doing that. Let's just hold off and wait and see what information comes back from the hospital. But I think it is safe to say that Terrell Thomas is hurting right now, and that's not good. No matter how you slice it, it's not good. Now, how bad does it turn out to be? It's anybody's guess.
And once again, folks, the news on Terrell Thomas, he has sustained another injury to that ACL in his right knee, the same injury he had last year. That was a tear. They are not aware yet. They do not know the extent of the injury this time. The most likely scenario, though it's not in stone yet, is that they'll probably do arthroscopic surgery to determine the extent of the damage, and that's where we are right now in terms of Terrell Thomas.
You know, John, this does tell you a little bit about what the Giant front office was thinking, though, during the offseason. Remember last year, at one point, they had lost six cornerbacks to injury, and already this year, Witherspoon is gone again. Thomas is hurt now, out indefinitely, I think is probably the safest thing to say. Hosley almost got hurt again today. They've got themselves coming into Albany, nine corners on the roster who I think are NFL capable. And that's something that this front office was very, very cognizant of as they went into the offseason. They saw all these corners go down last year. They wanted to stockpile as many as possible in case guys started to go down.
And the old saying, you can never have enough cornerbacks, and that was certainly true for the Giants last year. And let's hope that's not true for the Giants this year. One injury is only one injury. We'll see what happens. Jump back to David Wilson for a question, Paul. I have a question from Twitter. This one from Patrick D. How much playing time do you think David Wilson is going to get this year?
Well, you know, John, it's really all going to depend upon him. He's going to have to prove the things that I talked about before, as well as he's got to secure the ball better, too. Now, remember, he had some trouble holding on to the pigskin when he was at West Virginia. And Tom Coughlin said when they drafted him, we're going to teach him. You know, we took care of Tiki Barber's fumbleitis. We're going to take care of David Wilson's. So if these things are taken care of, again, his durability, if that's okay, if he can pick up the blitz, if he can hold on to the football, he will probably earn some more snaps. Could he touch it 10, 12 times a game? Maybe. Might he only touch it 3, 4, 5 times a game? Maybe. It's probably really up to him.
Well, he is to earn the coach's trust and prove that he can be trusted. Of course, last year the Giants were 32nd in the running game. A terrible, terrible number. The running backs weren't happy about it. Coach Coughlin wasn't happy about it. And the offensive line wasn't happy about it. They're going to do everything they can this year to improve the running game, and a lot of it starts up front with guys like David Deal.
You know, it's hard to say. There's all different things that you can look at, but most importantly, I think it's all aspects of the things. It's going back to the basics, making sure, you know, when you talk about running the football, it's not just about the front side. It's about the backside that can break things. So I know that as a group, we're focused on getting that back to number one.
Mod, before, you said that the fact that you guys were 32nd in the run game was devastating for him when he thought about the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely.
You won a Super Bowl, but does that number kind of stick with you anywhere?
Absolutely. You always, even though when, like I said, even though being defending world champs, you got to look back and evaluate all the important things. And that's, you know, that's been such a strength for our offense is being in the top 10 and being number one at one point. And we just know with the weapons that we have out there at wide receiver, if we can get the run game going like we know we're capable of, our offense can be deadly. You know, I think towards the end of the season and in the playoffs, we got the run game going strong. And, you know, you can say there's guys moving around, different things like that, but you never make any excuses for anything. And like I said, I know as a group, we're making a collective effort, all of us, to make it a strength because, like I said, you know, the guys that we have in our huddle, the guys that we have outside, the quarterback that we have, we get the running game back up to where it's capable of. Our offense is definitely going to be one of the top in the league.
And, Paul, those are strong words from David Deal right there. He wants the running game to improve. What does the offensive line have to do to make that happen?
Well, John, the first thing they need to do is to have some sort of continuity. I mean, you know what happened last year. Will Beattie had the detached retina, had to have the surgery. He went out at left tackle. You had to move Deal from left guard to left tackle. You had to put Petrus in there. You had to put Booth in at center because David Boss had injuries. I mean, Kareem McKenzie's gone now, so David Deal's the right tackle. So let's just assume for a second that Deal's at right tackle, Snee is at right guard, and Boss is at center. Let's assume those guys are okay. Kevin Booth is now the full-time left guard. For the first time since he's been a Giant, he's now going to be a full-time starter. I hope he can handle the 16 games. He's got the body type for it, certainly. And now you've got Will Beattie, who's got some back issues coming into camp, supposedly manning the left tackle spot. Do we know if he can play 16 games? No, we don't. So first things first, let's see if those five guys can play a whole season together. That's the most important thing.
And, of course, the big news today, Terrell Thomas and his injury to his right knee. We have an official quote from the Giants here. I'm going to read it for you. At this point, this is Terrell Thomas, he will most likely undergo an arthroscopic procedure to determine the extent of the injury to the ACL. However, no decision has been made at this point. Terrell is going to consult with Dr. Arthur Ting, who performed an allograft reconstruction of his ACL in September. So, again, right now, he's getting examined. They haven't figured out an exact course of action yet. They're determining the extent of the injury. Arthroscopic surgery is a possibility, but it is not certain at this point. That's your quote from the New York Giants.
Yeah, and, you know, quite frankly, it's something now we're going to have to watch very carefully over the course of the next 24 hours until they really figure out exactly what it is he's got.
I know, and that's obviously going to affect the entire defense, and what affects the secondary affects the pass rush. Obviously, those two things are very much interchanged. The Giants are very happy to have one big part of that pass rush in camp this year. It's been the first time in a while that Osu Mignure has been up here in Albany for an entire training camp, and the Giants are happy to have him. Let's hear from Osi.
These last couple of years, I've been playing with little nagging things here and there, but you know, now for the first time in a while, I feel, you know, relatively healthy, and you know, I hope I'm just able to maintain that throughout the year.
Do you remember the last time you came to camp actually feeling healthy?
Maybe before 2006, maybe, because 06 is when I had the little hip issue, and since then it's been one thing or another. So it's been maybe about 6 years. Yeah, long time, long time. So I'm happy about it, but, you know, I just got to, you know, hope to Lord that it stays that way.
As it stands now, have the doctors told you that some of the things you've had in the past could come back and that you'll have to manage them, or have they pretty much said to you, hey, we've pretty much fixed this stuff and you just keep going until you start to hurt?
Man, I haven't even seen the doctor, so I guess that's the answer right there.
You pretty much played the last couple of years where you've had days off at practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you want to continue that in the sense that it'll keep you healthier?
No, not necessarily. I think for me, practice is a big part of my game. I love to do it, and that's why I get better. That's why I work on things that I'm going to execute in the game. So as much practice as I can get, you know, I want to do that. But, you know, these last couple of years, I haven't been able to because, you know, they've tried to keep me healthy for the games. But I don't think this would be a situation, obviously, with the rotation that we have, whereas I'm going to be in there all the time. So I don't think there will be a need for me to take days off of practice unless I absolutely have to.
And it's great to have OC back, Paul. What type of an impact can he make if he manages to stay healthy for 16 games? Something really haven't seen in quite a while.
No, you heard him say that he feels as good as he has in many, many years. In fact, later on, I think, during the media conference, he said something like 2006 was the last time he came to camp so healthy. This is a guy who averaged a sack a game last year, John. A couple of years ago, he had double digits and forced fumbles. He is a game changer. I mean, to say that OC Umanura has an impact every time he steps on the field is an understatement. So, yes, does he make a difference? Sure he does. And like you said, with the potential situation in the corners, with the corners now, the pass rush even becomes more important.
And he made the point, too, that the contract's not an issue. He's happy with what happened, and he obviously, whenever he goes to the field, he goes all out in the matter.
You know, he said it's going to take care of itself, and isn't that really what he should say?
And that's what it's all about, getting it done on the field, and that'll take care of itself. 518-437-3774. Let's go back to our phones. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Major Bioka from Pompton Lakes, New Jersey.
What's going on?
I have a question regarding Terrell Thomas' injury. Back
sure.
To that. Do you guys think that Prince Alcamara is ready to step it up now that Terrell Thomas went down?
Well, you know, Prince had a really great day at practice today, and even Tom Coughlin said he thought yesterday was a good day for Prince as well. Jerry Reese, the GM, challenged him the other day when he said to the media, John, I think you were there as well, when he said he's got to start playing like a number one pick. You know, he was a number one pick last year, had the broken foot when he got to training camp, missed half a season, had an interception against the Philadelphia Eagles in his NFL debut, but then kind of tailed off. Admits that he wasn't 100% when he played last year, and maybe, just maybe, Perry Fuel said the Giants gave him a little too much. They were excited by the pick, and so they started force-feeding him. Let's face it, they needed him, John.
Yeah, they desperately. Everyone was hurt.
Everybody was hurt, so they needed snaps out of those corners, and Prince was force-fed, and then he didn't do so well, and then all of a sudden, Antrell Roll had to go back to playing corner again in the sub-package. And look, the kid is smart. He's eager. Now he's got to show something in his second season.
Jerry Reese said he needs to play like a first-round pick and challenge for a starting job. 518-437-3774. 518-437-3774. Back to our phones. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? All right, looks like we lost our caller here on the Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by Andrew Mark. John Schmelk and Paul Dottino live from Albany here in training camp. It is day four of practice, and Paul, tomorrow the Giants have a day off, something I'm sure Coach Coughlin's not thrilled about, but you have to do what the CBA tells you to do.
Yeah, you do, John. No more two-a-days, and then you got to mix these days off in between. And, hey, you know what? Here's the bottom line. The preseason starts August 10th in Jacksonville against the Jaguars. By the time they get down to Florida, Tom Coughlin's got to at least have some semblance of a plan in terms of what he wants to do with his starters, which reserves he wants to look at, and the game conditions, and then start that evaluation process. He can't do a lot of evaluating with these limited practices. As he has said himself, a lot of what they're doing now is mental and the walkthroughs and trying to figure out if the guys are getting it up here because they can't show a lot on the field.
And, of course, we talked about OC Umanura. The guy that will split time with him a lot at right end is Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, JPP said earlier in the camp that he's only reached 50% of his capabilities. Considering he had 16 and a half sacks last year, that's pretty scary. Well, defensive coordinator Perry Fuel spoke to the media today, and he had nothing but great things to say about JPP.
He's a lot more fun to coach now because you know that JPP is going to do something that you're going to say, boy, that doesn't belong. But that's okay. That's JPP, you know. So you don't try to coach him too much because you don't want to screw him up. So that's the best thing about coaching him right now, because he understands the game to a certain degree. But he has a lot more men, and I've said this to you before. He's just scratching the surface of what he can do and how much he can learn and where he can go with his talent. And so we try not to coach him, overcoach him.
Is he still kind of operating a lot on just instincts and athletic ability?
I would say so, yeah. You know, a lot of his is instincts and athletic ability. And, you know, that's a good trait. Mm-hmm. That's a very good trait.
And as you say that you're trying to coach him and he's got a lot more to learn, is that just understanding defensive schemes, or are you talking about defensive line moves? I mean,
what the offense is doing to him, how they're trying to take advantage of him and how he can counteract that, how some of the offensive linemen are trying to set him up in different ways, because now, I mean, he came in as Jason Pierre-Paul, this defensive end, and now he's JPP, and so people are going to study him a little bit more and pay more attention to him, and they're going to have something ready for him this year, so he's going to have to be a lot smarter about how he plays the game. This is JPP's third year, right? And I was looking at Linville Joseph the other day, and I said, Linville, this is your third year, man. And so JPP, I can remember as we were going through the defenses and we were talking about the defenses, he had a lot of questions. I was in the meeting room with him yesterday. He had a few questions, but he had more answers than he had questions. But some of the questions he had were very, very football related. They were, when I say football related, they were technical questions that could help make us better as a defense and help him make him better as a player. So, yeah, he's just scratching the surface of his knowledge of what's happening to him, what he can produce within the defense, and how far he can go outside the framework of the defense.
And I get Jason Pierre-Paul has a lot to learn, Paul. But I don't want to hear anything about 50% capabilities when the guy has 16 and a half sacks and is winning games on his own. Does he have 33 sacks next year? Come on.
Yeah, that's quite a high number, John. Maybe take four or five guys to get 33 sacks combined. I mean, that's just really incredible. But I will say this. Perry Fuel did tell us, as you heard, a lot of what JPP's doing is still instinctive. And I have to tell you, when I hear that, it does kind of scare me a little bit.
I mean, good thing, though. You want players to be instinctive. You don't
want
them to be corralled by a system.
I mean, look, LT was very instinctive, too, when he played.
So was a guy like Junior Seau. He oftentimes went outside the play and made a lot of great plays.
So, you know, what I'm curious about is how does Perry Fuel handle that balance, as he said, about how much do you coach the guy and how much do you just let him play? That's really going to be a very interesting dynamic.
And, of course, you can improve technique and individual stuff that'll make his physical abilities and his natural talent that much better. I think that's probably what Perry Fuel was talking about.
Well, yeah, I think it's more talking about what offenses are going to try to do to you, tricks of the trade that offensive linemen are going to use against him, looking at formations. I don't think they're so much talking about how he reacts or plays to the play. I think they're talking about more about what he sees before the snap.
Let's go to the phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Mike from Brick.
Mike, what's up, pal?
I saw one of the Giants beat writers today tweet that OC said this is the first time he's been actually injury-free since 2006. So with him happy with his new contract and being completely healthy, what kind of season do you think he'll have since, you know, focus is more on JPP now?
Well, you know, we talked about OC before, John, and I think it just stands to reason. OC is primed to have a great year. Why? Well, A, because he's healthy. B, if you believe in guys trying to play big in their contract year, well, OC is in his contract year, and he's either going to get a real nice, juicy contract from the Giants if he has double-digit sacks, or he's going to get one somewhere else. It behooves him to have a great year.
Though, honestly, I think the Giants are probably going to limit his snaps a little bit. I'm not talking 30 snaps a game, but instead of playing 75 snaps a game, maybe he's going to play 50, only because of his knee, his injury history, his age, and quite frankly, the Giants have so many good defensive linemen, you don't have to play him 70 plays a game.
John, it's going to be a heavy rotation. Perry Fuel has made that very clear to us time and time and time again, and why not? I mean, when he's got the kind of weapons at his disposal to put on the field, why shouldn't he mix and match? Because, after all, it's not just about their own effectiveness, but when he starts doing those things with the Rubik's Cube, he confuses offenses as well.
Let's go back to Twitter call, Paul. This question comes in from Patrick T. Who will be filling the void left by Dave Tollefson? He obviously signing with the Oakland Raiders in the offseason as a free agent.
Well, you see, it goes back to OC again, because the Giants didn't have Tuck and OC as part of that whole Fantastic Four or NASCAR package all last season. Now they do. So what happens is some of Tollefson's snaps will go to that package where you'll have OC in there. Some more of them will probably go to Kiwanuka, who in the sub-package will drop down as a defensive lineman instead of standing up as a linebacker. And then maybe, just maybe, if there's another defensive end that makes the team, I'm still thinking that Adrian Tracy might have the best shot of the, quote, no-names of sneaking into the depth chart there and becoming that last defensive end. And maybe every once in a while you might see him take a few snaps.
All right, I want to go to a couple more questions from Twitter and from our message boards. Let's go to our message boards. By the way, you can submit these questions at boards.giants.com. We'll take a couple questions every show and go through them. This one comes in from Papa Smurf. Can we expect to see Marvin Austin at some point this year getting some significant playing time?
Well, let's make one thing very clear. Marvin Austin is not a Smurf.
He's much larger than that. He might have ate a few Smurfs.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big man. Marvin Austin is in really good shape after coming in originally during the offseason program out of shape. The Giants really got on him hard. And from what I understand, they're very, very pleased with the way he reacted to their tough discipline. And he looks really good right now. Certainly, he's missed a lot of football in the last 2 years, John. So he's going to need as many reps during the preseason as he can get his hands on to try to get acclimated to what the Giants are all about. You've got to watch him closely. That's the bottom line. He will have a chance to earn snaps.
Now let's go back to Twitter poll. This question from Brian P. Will the Giants meet the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs? We know they'll meet them in the regular season, but he's really looking ahead here.
I'm not even going there. I mean, let's...
Come on,
let's know everything,
Paul.
Let's
That's
talk
why we have you. You can't tell me you don't know.
Look, they haven't played a preseason game yet, so you're going to have to cut me some slack. I don't give any predictions before the opening game is upon us.
Well, how about this? You figure the 49ers are going to win the NFC West, right? If the Giants are going to go deep in the playoffs, there's a pretty decent chance they might have to go through the 49ers.
It's likely. Let's put it that way. It's like when Walsh and Parcells were coaching opposite sidelines with the Giants and Niners. You kind of knew that they'd probably clash at some point. Yeah, it's certainly probable.
Except now, the Giants are the passing team. The Niners are the running team in defense. There's a bit of a switch in roles there for the two franchises. Let's go back to our phone's caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Name is Jeff from Seaside Heights. How you doing?
Jeff, doing great, man. How are you?
Doing good. And, Paul, I got to tell you, I love your fire when you talk football, your passion. You just fire me up, man. You're just awesome.
Well, thanks very much. I enjoy you.
You're welcome. My question is about the free agents. We had a diamond in the rough a couple years ago by the name of Cruz. Who do you see in camp this year between Jansen, Martinek? Do we have any kind of diamond in the roughs that might be popping up that looks like they're doing pretty well on the field this year?
You know, another great subject that John and I have talked about since rookie minicamp, and really the one guy who I've picked out as my dark horse isn't so much a dark horse because he's gotten a lot of ink from the newspapers over the course of the last couple of months, and that's safety Will Hill out of Florida. He's St. Peter's prep guy, Jersey guy, had a lot of trouble off the field in college, maybe didn't take the game as seriously as he needed to, but the Giants are giving him a chance right now as a street free agent, and I really think he's got all the tools to be a real good one. He's had a good camp so far, had a good mini camp. He's my dark horse to make the team, but again, I don't know how much of a dark horse he is because everybody else seems to see what I've seen.
And speaking of DBs, let's go back to Twitter, Paul. This question comes in from Kunal S. How have some of the DBs looked, specifically Jaron Hosley and Justin Tryon?
Well, I will tell you something about Hosley. He impressed the living heck out of me during rookie minicamp. Tremendous speed, quickness, instinctive for the ball, great flexibility. There's nothing not to like about this kid. It's a steal for a third-round pick. But what happens here? They get to Albany. I've seen him get beat a couple of times by veterans, and, you know, it's something he's going to have to learn. And then he got spiked in the knee today. Again, a minor injury. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. And Tryon's a proven NFL player. We know that already. So, I mean, he is what he is.
Paul, we'll see you up at camp next week. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, John.
For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark right here on Giants.com. Tomorrow, the Giants have no practice, so we have no show. But the 4 days after that, the Giants have practice. We'll be here at 5:30 in the afternoon, taking your calls, taking your tweets, and talking New York Giants football live from Albany. Thanks for joining us, everybody. For Paul Bettino, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time. Enjoy the rest of your night.